as I know, we've got the actual officer here who's responsible for it. As far as I know, in every year since the appointing the mayor on a seniority principle has been implemented, it's been carried out precisely. So where they get this nonsense from that customer
could we ask a question though specifically related to that item?
The question is what is being done to get the Centre for Public Scrutiny to correct their report?
I'll respond to both of those points. At the meeting, which I think it was probably two meetings ago, there was an agreement on the approach that would be taken to the work that was done in 2014 to 2016. And you can correct me if my recollection from them. And one of the agreed actions was that it would be parked until the first meeting after the election, when it would be reconsidered again. That was what was agreed by the committee at that meeting. That's the first point. In relation to the second point, I disagree with you, Councillor Sanford. I don't think they've got it completely wrong. They are commenting on what members told them. So whilst you were very clear about what the process is, they are commenting that amongst members that they spoke to, there was confusion. Now that doesn't mean that they are wrong. It means that they're commenting on the interviews. So I think to simply say that it's wrong, I disagree. Because they've set out what the process is, and they've referenced the fact that in the view of some people who they've spoken to, custom and practice has been different. Now they may be wrong, and that's fine. But it's they're putting in an observation of what they have heard when speaking to members. And with all due respect, you haven't had sight of every single thing that every member said in an interview. So
that's part of the problem with their report, that they've actually reached conclusions without actually showing any actual evidence for those conclusions. Okay, I can take your point on that. They are saying, you know, some people said custom and practice may have been different, but that is completely incorrect, but that may have been said. But on the first point, yes, we did agree to park the work, but the thing is they don't say anywhere in the report that what we were talking about in all of those meetings, and I think Councillor Jamil was at the meeting, some other people were, we were talking about changing to a hybrid system of government, not reverting to a committee system. So regardless of what your views on that particular issue is, what they said in their report is incorrect. So
they haven't reflected every single conversation that has taken place with members. This is a summary of their observations. I think if we were going down the route where we were saying every single thing that has been referenced is recovered in the report, I would agree. But they haven't. They've summarised it. And I'm not sure what is lost in the report without that explicit inclusion, particularly when members have said, we will revisit it, taking into account what was agreed in 2014 to 2016 to see whether there is an appetite to take it forward. I can't see what is lost by that not being explicitly included.
Sorry, Councillor Sanford, I must ask you. Sorry. Okay. If there are any further questions at all from the committee? Councillor Ayres, thank you.
I just wanted to go back to what Councillor Sanford has said, because I would like to know, how, on some of the comments that are made in this report, how many people made them out of the 14 interviews? Because if only one person makes a comment, would it be proper to have a final report on governance in this entire council that is based on the comment of one person, if you see what I mean? And my point in that is, it would not be correct to do that. You don't need to mention what one person, if you've got an overall balance of people thinking one way, fair enough. But to actually put forward one person, or even two people's views, they have to have a criteria of what they do, don't they? In their interviews as well. I know that we had Appendix A, which I've only seen today, actually, but Appendix A is weighting things, you know, weighting down what was said in the actual survey itself. And one can see the weighting given to that. But I'd like to know, like Councillor Sanford would, as to what basis they put things in the report.
Okay. Do you want me to ask the question?
Yes, please.
What I would say is that most of the record. most of the recommendations, but I can ask that question.
Councillor Ray.
Thank you. I think, yeah, just adding on my colleagues over there's comments, the fact that a lot of the information that's provided is that qualitative data of, you know, there's little appetite. Well, is little appetite 1 out of 60 councillors? Is it that it's 29 out of 60 councillors and therefore it's not enough?
I think that when members gave the interviews, I think they gave them not necessarily on the basis that their views
absolutely
necessarily.
One example, yeah, of throughout the whole report, there's a lot of opportunities where they could give us numbers, they could give us facts, they could show us the extent of the problem. We could be acting on a recommendation, which is one person wasn't sure of something on one day,
yeah,
versus something that actually 29 people weren't sure of something on a day. And again, using that one as an example, it's very tough to weigh those recommendations when you've got words like little, some, yeah, few, etc., when actually there is data out there. Like you say, they've got a lot of data. For them to include everything they've got would be a very long report, but actually it would help us understand some of the recommendations they're making and why they're making these recommendations.
So just in relation to the main recommendation, which is based upon the interviews given by members, is the clarity over the mayoral system, and that's one of the items which is on the agenda. Most of the other recommendations that have been put forward are to do with reports that have been seen, the general governance. They obviously had sight of the Andrew Flockhart report from 2021, which set out serious concerns about the governance. I would say that the only item specifically in relation to this needing to be clarified because of members is the mayoral recommendation, because of the assumed confusion, and that's going to be picked up as part of the agenda this evening. But I'm happy to pick that up.
Yeah, so the example of little appetite wasn't to do with the mayoral thing, it was about governance change in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're completely right about the mayoral thing. Yeah. I'm quite clear about that. It's in the rules, yeah, like you say, we're going to cover it. But, yeah, I think to say there's only one item where it has that recommendation
so
is a bit off.
Can we restrict any sort of preamble to questions, please, just to ensure efficiency? I understand that there are concerns around the report. However, let's ask pertinent questions if you want them to come back. But we've read through it, haven't we? The minutes are understood, the agenda is understood that we have read through that already. We don't need to. We can specify the clause that we are referring to and ask a question in relation to that.
So I can pick up the question whether further clarity can be provided as to the numbers of members that in relation to the governance. I can pick that up. Subject to clarification being provided on that, which I think will come before the next meeting, are members happy to agree the report as it is?
Subject. Yep.
No, because I'm actually really, really concerned that because I wasn't aware we were going to be talking about this report, because there's no actual copy of this report attached, so I'm now having to basically go back and look at it. So it's not a very good process to begin with. But I think we had a discussion on the report at the last meeting, and I think I said that I was prepared to agree to it all, apart from those two recommendations where they were factually incorrect. So I'm not going to say that I'm agreeing to a report that contains information that is
so
not correct.
Councillor Sanford, I'll take that point on board. If you don't agree to the report on the basis of the points that you have brought up, may I please suggest that we go to a vote? Or we note the update. To note the update.
Can okay. I ask? Sorry, just on the plan for the constitution review side of things, and potentially a question for yourself, Chair. Obviously, we've got that verbal update. It's very hard to kind of comprehend on the spot without having the things to go through in advance, to prepare our questions, to decide whether we like the plan or don't like the plan. Can I ask why we got a verbal update rather than having the documents as per usual?
Sorry. Because it's kind of, it's ongoing. So during the course of the last week, there have been different elements. And I guess just wanting to provide, just to kind of let you know where I am, where I am as of today's date. I'm happy for the next report that comes forward, if there is an update, to provide that in writing. It was just really to give you the most up-to-date scenario of where we are, and I'm happy to take that forward for the next meeting to provide you with a written report. No intention to do anything other than that, just to, provide you with the up-to-date position, but happy to take that forward.
Councillor Coles, I did want to make a point, though, that it does specifically state that we are to note the update, not necessarily agree with it. So if we're all happy to note the update, and Adesua can follow up on those action points later on and bring it to future meetings, and that's fine. Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. You said what I was going to say. Thank you.
Any other questions at all? Okay. So are we agreed to note the verbal update that has been provided by Adesua? Are we all in agreement?
In future meetings, we have proper reports and not verbal updates, because, you know, it's not a very good process. If we're going to be reviewing the Constitution, we want to do it in a deliberative and precise way.
Councillor Sanford, I think Adesua has already stated that she will take that on board and that will be provided in the future as well. Okay. So moving on to item number 5, process for mayor and deputy mayor appointments. Please can I ask Rachel to introduce the report? Thank you, Rachel, and welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So this report brought to you this evening is to note the process for the appointment of mayor and deputy mayor as per the Constitution. This report was following a request from members of this committee back in December 2023 for the selection of mayor and deputy mayor, and the recommendation from CFGS just to confirm the process that we are following. I'm not going to go through the whole of the Constitution, but I will pick out points for you just to clarify. As Councillor Sanford has said in his speech today, we do already have a system in place, and it's Part 5, Section 6, 4.2 of the Constitution, of how the mayor is appointed. Peterborough City Council appoints a mayor on the basis of their length of service with the council. The council may also take into account factors such as experience as chairing meetings, the need for the mayor to have time to attend many daytime as well as evening appointments, and the range of duties which the mayor will be required to undertake. It is also usual for the mayor and deputy mayor to represent two different political parties, although this is not obligatory. Mayors serve 1 year term office. Also, just to confirm, the deputy mayor appointment, this is also within the Constitution, Part 5, Section 8, and this was amended in February 2019. And again, this is based on the order of seniority. So the same process as the mayor. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions on that at all? No? Okay, so it is recommended that the Constitution and Ethics Committee note the process for appointment of the Mayor and Deputy Mayor as per the Constitution. Are we all in agreement with that? Thank you very much. We now move on to item 6, appointment of a cycle council champion. Please can I ask Adesua to introduce the report? Thank you.
July of last year, I think it was July, there was agreement on various champions that would go forward with a recommendation to full council for the adoption of the champions. And just for memory, let me just confirm the cycle council champions which have been agreed: armed forces, trees, city centre and dementia. Now this was scheduled to go to full council two full councils ago for adoption. It didn't go to full council. It's come back to C&E committee because there was a proposal for there to be a cycle champion. So rather than take the report to full council, come back to C&E committee and then go back to full council, we thought it best to come back to full C&E committee and get the views of members as to whether this is something that they'd be minded to support, to recommend to full council, so that we would take one comprehensive report to full council with all of them, with the recommendations. So that's the basis of this report, to seek your views. It's something that was recommended, put forward by the leader. There is I might have to get this right, there is an active travel champion role within the council already. So I think if we're going to, if you're minded to recommend to full council, I guess it's just being clear as to what the cycle champion will actually do, because there seems to be other roles which might overlap. So really, it's just up for discussion, really, for you members, for your thoughts.
Are we done? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Adesua. Councillor Hiller.
Thank you, Chair, and through you, and thank you, Adesua, for that refresher as to where we are on our champion status. My only concern, I think, is where do we actually stop with these things? Cycling champion, great, yeah. What about a walking champion? What about a running champion? What about a horse riding champion in the rural wards? You know, where do we actually stop with these things? And I think it's terribly difficult, and I should say very easy, to go down this sort of slippery path, if you'll excuse the analogy, to suggest people or a role that somebody sort of slips into. And I'm very conscious of I'm very keen on having members that are champions for particular causes, and I think the ones that Adesua has highlighted 2 seconds ago are laudable, worthwhile, and something that the people of this city would probably relate to. I'm not suggesting that nobody will relate to cycling, but it's just that where, if you appoint a cycling champion or the vacancy for a cycling champion, where do you stop? And I think that the champions that we have currently are probably a champion enough, in my opinion. That's just my personal opinion.
We have Councillor Jamil.
Thank you, Chair, and through you. I agree with Councillor Hiller's comments. Where does it stop? But we're talking about cycling and champion here. What is the difference between the active champion that we've got at the moment and this, and how do we differentiate? It's just going to go bananas after a while. I just think that what we've got is enough, and then do we then break it down into each political party can have one of their own, and I just think it's going to get messy, and I think we've got far more important things to worry about in this council than picking up on champions for everything going.
Thank you, Councillor Jamil. Councillor Ray.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with colleagues in terms of, like I said, there's got to be a point to it. But at the same time, we've got to have someone that's willing to do the role, and a number of people that are willing to do the role. I remember some discussions before where we looked at who might want to fill a gap, and we need to put a name in there, and who's it going to be, and almost arm bending to try and get people into roles. Well, actually, if we put this in, that we need to have this psychoactive travel champion, we might have someone at the moment. Well, actually, if that person decides they don't want to be a counsellor anymore, we need to think about that as well. Do we then have to remove it? Is it a compulsory role? Do we have to fill this gap? So it's definitely something that, like you say, requires thought. Likewise, I know on the Corporate Parenting Committee, we've got a whole number of champions that are on Corporate Parenting. Well, are they these champions? Are they separate champions? Are they... Which champion's more champion-y than the other champions? You know, it's very messy.
Thank you, Councillor Ray. Councillor Sanford.
I don't think it needs to be a messy process. I think I wouldn't disagree with what Councillor Hiller was saying, that you wouldn't want a plethora of them. I don't think there's a proposal to have a plethora of them. If you look in the report at the ones that are proposed, it's proposed that we should have an armed forces champion. Well, I think we've already got one. You were in the role for a period, and I believe it's Councillor Fox. There was a request from Woodland Trust, I think, to have a Councillor Tree champion. I declare an interest. I'm interested and have been appointed to that. But I'm just trying to say that there's a reason for all of these. When this went out to when this was referred to the scrutiny committees, the proposal that came back, I think, from the growth scrutiny committee was that there should be a city centre champion. So that's the reason that's on the list. I believe, I don't know where dementia champion came from, but I presume there's a need for that. I think where I would raise a slight quibble, I wasn't aware that we had an active travel champion. I think we should have either a cycling champion or an active travel champion. I, think to have both, there would be too much of an overlap. There's an actual need for that, I think, because there has been recently a resurrection of a body called the Cycle Forum, which is a group of interested members of the public that come together and meet to discuss issues to do with cycling. And I believe it's Councillor Skipstead at the moment. Is she the active travel champion? Is she the cycle champion? I'm not sure.
Thank you, Rachel. Sorry. She is exercising some functions of that, but I think there just needed to be clarity, because if we end up with a separate cycle champion, then potentially there's a little bit of duplication in both of the roles.
I think my personal view would be that we should have just sort of have an active travel champion. That seems that because that takes in both cycling and walking. You could even say that horse riding is active travel. I don't really know much about that, but yeah. I'm assuming these are going to go to full council at some point. The only other slight quibble I was going to raise was in the protocol that's attached, it says the leader stroke full council is responsible for appointing member champions. I thought we decided it was going to be full council, in which case that most likely needs a ending.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. The adopted protocol. I know. What do you expect? I'm only a lawyer. Can't work a microphone. This has come from the adopted protocol, which seemed to have both options, because the July report had a recommendation for adopting the protocol, but the protocol included both options. There wasn't a separate recommendation in relation to that, and I couldn't see that it was covered in the minutes specifically. So it could be that, in addition to agreeing an active travel champion, that this evening that you agree that, with reference to the appointment, etc., that's the full council, and we can minute that and reflect that in the recommendations when it goes to full council. I think that's probably the way around it.
Thank you, Adesua. Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. I propose the active travel champion would be the right thing, because active travel is cycling, walking, public transport, and also e-wheeled vehicles, so all of that should be swept together. I think my concern is we're aligning the role of cycle with an external pressure group, which is very useful in terms of them having someone to talk to, but it should be within the entire scheme. We also know that active travel take-up in the city is poor, between 3-8% in different areas for usage, so it's an area that needs to be covered. So I don't have a problem about there being a champion. I think my more concern is the structure within the report is about it being appointed annually. So my concern is that someone is it for 1 year, then we have another a competition, and there might be people losing their seats, for example, and not being able to take that up. So there isn't any sense of longevity about that. And that may be the concern. If you're looking for a champion or an expert in an area, we defeat our own purpose by only limiting it to 1 year. So those would be my comments.
Thank you, Councillor Coles. Any more comments or questions?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Sorry, Councillor Grayers. If you'll allow me. I agree with Councillor Coles. I think that the active travel champion certainly encompasses two-wheel transport, as well as four-legged transport, as well as two-legged transport, and blah, 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 blah. So, it's active. I mean, it clues in the name, isn't it? I mean, it's active travel champion. So, you know, that covers the whole gamut of getting around in anything other than cars. Or buses, I have to say, because that ain't necessarily an active travel. That's something else, which may touch a nerve. But I think active travel champion, great. And I think in picking up on what Councillor Coles also said about the time scale, I again agree with that. I think to have it time bound to a year or any time binding, I don't think is such a great idea. Maybe it shouldn't be time bound at all. And it should be until that particular person determines that they don't want to be a champion anymore, and I'm looking to Adesua from a legalese point of view here, it, you know, could it be a four-year period in the current cycle of council? I mean, could it be just, you know, I don't know, and I would take your expert advice on that, but I think that to have it time-bound for a year, as Councillor Cole has alluded, he was in agreement that it shouldn't be, and I agree with that thought, if that makes sense, Chair.
Could I just ask, would that only be in relation to the cycle champion, or would that be in relation to all of them? Because the other four have a annual, I was going to say renewal, but would it be the intention that all of them are not time bound? Or
if I might come back on that, yeah, yes.
Okay.
I don't think they should be time bound. They shouldn't necessarily be in perpetuity, patently. There is an area in between that. And I think that to time, but I mean, there's no formal status with these particular roles in that they don't have any extra powers or decision-making abilities or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, they ought to be consultees to council. And if there are schemes, initiatives, diktats from government, whatever, if I was a champion of any particular area, I would be antenna-wise on these things and then report either through my group, through the group leader, or indeed full council. And I think it's important that we recognise that, but to time bind it, I don't think is a great idea. But just okay.
Thank you, Councillor.
I was just going to say, I wonder whether a way around it would be to amend 2.2, which just to make it clear that following their appointment, they will remain until they resign or they're removed from their position or something to that effect. Okay.
Councillor Ayres, sure, sorry, Councillor Ayres was before yourself, sorry.
Only because I was just slightly worried who was going to do the appointments, because leader stroke full council doesn't really mean a lot, does it? It could be either, it could be both, it could be whatever.
Could I come back on that, if that's possible? I mean, the leader is not precious about these things, and I think that
no leader would,
you know,
be
the appointment of these positions, in my opinion, knowing the leader as I do, I mean, it ought to go through full council.
For the future, Peter, of course, as well, and we won't necessarily have the same leader forever.
No, I'm sure.
So if we've got leaders, I think it needs to be go to probably the leader put somebody forward and suggest what goes in the report to council, but it has to go to full council. I think the best way. And can I just also add something else? Because over the page on 4.2, champion cannot make decisions unless the champion is a cabinet member with delegated authority. I was a bit surprised that the champion could be a cabinet member, because the cabinet member involved with this particular job would presumably already be dealing with it, if you see what I mean. But anyway, that's something else. Must not commit the council anyway or in any manner that could be interpreted as being contrary to established policy and practice. Now, is that political or is that officer's practice? What policy are we referring to there?
I can only assume that it's probably council policy. I mean, this is the same protocol subject to a minor amendment which came to the committee in July. I can only assume that when it was drafted, the reference was to council policy. We can make that clear.
We can
amend that to make that clear.
We have got quite a few political parties.
Yeah.
And you know, and it needs to be probably a little bit more sanguine, but just pointing out who you're going to refer to anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor. As Councillor Sanford.
There's a few points to deal with. Okay, I think my clear recollection from the July meeting, and I do have quite a good memory for these things, is that we did talk about whether the champion should be appointed by the leader or by full council, and I'm sure we decided it was full council. I think I've actually looked back at the minutes, and it's a bit unclear. It says that recommend to full council the preferred member protocol. So I think that means I think the appointment ought to be by full council, and I think that's what we decided. So I think on the actual term of them, I think I'd be opposed to the idea of appointing them in perpetuity, because then you might get a situation where somebody is always the champion for such and such a thing, and that carries on for year after year. I think the rationale for appointments annually is that at the council's AGM, we appoint quite a wide range of things. We appoint the leader, we appoint chairs of committees, but we also appoint representatives and outside organisations. So I think there is a certain logic to appointing these annually, and that ensures that that the person's active. I think you could also ask the person who's appointed to these roles to maybe produce a short report on what activities that they've undertaken. And then if it turns out that the person's not particularly active and there's an enthusiastic person who wants to take on the role, then they could be appointed. So that would be my view on it.
Thank you, Councillor Sanford. Councillor Ray.
Thank you, Chair. What you were saying there, Councillor Sanford, that kind of brings it in line with how the Armed Forces Champion's currently done. It comes out in the leader scheme of delegation, along with the other appointments that the leader makes, but that's ratified by full council. So the sort of recommendation comes through in consultation with other group leaders and then goes to full council to go through. So that makes sense. I think it's saying something like member champions will be reviewed on an annual basis. Could probably be quite a simple change. But also within point 2.2, it's probably worth us clarifying somewhere. I apologise because we seem to have gone from putting in a cycle champion to reviewing the whole policy. It does say, however, an appointment may be made during the year to any new position that's established. I don't know how, it doesn't seem to be defined where the process is to create new champions. I appreciate that's what we're doing today, but that doesn't seem to be written anywhere. So we can appoint in year two extra champions throughout, but it might be worth clarifying that that's done through this committee.
Adesu, would you like to comment?
About what you've said there in terms of the appointment. So are you referring to the recommendations to full council for who ultimately is appointed? Is that what you're referring to? So I guess at the moment in 2.1 it references leader stroke full council responsible for appointing. So that's the ultimate decision. So we can just conclude provisions about who's responsible for putting forward recommendations to the decision maker.
Yeah, so that would be for who's in there. So like I say, the leader recommends, full council appoints, that's completely fine. But in terms of creating new roles, that doesn't seem to be defined anywhere unless it's in the wider constitution.
I would say that.
So if we want a swimming champion, we get to the point of swimming
say,
again.
I would say that where probably does that doesn't need to be covered, just because similar to what's happened with the cycle champion, there was a proposal for it to go to full council for that to be, and the advice was it needs to come to C&E committee first for their views. So I think that's covered outside of the protocol itself, because it wouldn't get as far without it coming via C&E committee. But I can amend 2.1 to just specify that it's the C&E committee that's responsible for recommending starting the process. That's fine, I can do that.
Thank you, Adesua. Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. I'm loath to design on the hoof, but I'm just thinking at point 6.1, the requirement of each champion is to develop smart targets with the relevant cabinet member. It would seem to me if you're doing that, you need to measure that those have been achieved. So the review concept annually, looking at those smart measures, and I think you mentioned a short report would cover that as part of a process. If someone has achieved them or has worked towards them, the council will then know that person's working. If not, then that will equally be fairly obvious that person probably would like to step down, and the leader and other group leaders can then discuss that as a matter of normal protocol. So I'm just thinking that there is a mechanism that isn't quite complete about how we might carry this through.
Thank you, Councillor Coles. Any more comments, questions? Therefore, I'd like to seek advice on the recommendation of the Constitution and Ethics Committee, seeing that we've had so many varied views here. Well, actually, we've been quite, I think, consistent in our views across the board. To consider whether to recommend to full council the adoption of a cycle champion and determine the scope of the role. So we'd need an alternative recommendation, wouldn't we? Councillor Coles.
If I may represent an alternative, is that we appoint an active travel champion to cover cycling as part of their role. And the other corrections that we suggested is to go away from annual appointments, but to also ensure that a report is compiled by each of the champions annually, bearing in mind 6.1, the smart targets that they've been given by in conjunction with the cabinet member responsible. Is Is that okay with members?
Councillor Hulls, are you suggesting a wording to that recommendation? Is that the wording?
I'm sorry, yes, I am.
Councillor Sanford.
Just slightly take issue with that. If you don't make the appointment annually, but you require an annual report, then what mechanism is if the person refuses to present an annual report or that? But if the appointment's not made annually, then what mechanism?
That's the review.
Do you have?
The review, and then the recommendations go ahead annually on the review.
Okay.
I think Councillor Coles. In answer to your question, Councillor Sanford, I think that we've already alluded to the fact that in clause 6.1, it does state that whoever the champion is would have to meet those SMART requirements. So that would be part of that annual review.
What would be the mechanism for removing them then if they're not?
So I think we have, again, to determine that element, haven't we, of the role holder, as to whether this should be annually. That's something we haven't yet agreed on, if I may put that to members. We haven't yet agreed on the length of term of those role holders as yet.
If you're basically requiring them to submit a report every year, it just makes sense if you appoint them every year, then you can just say if their report's okay, they carry on. If not, don't.
Just to probably add some clarity on that, obviously within point 2.4, we've got a member champion can be removed from office anytime by leader or full council, by written notice to the chief executive. So we've got that in place. But also there is a very other, quite a high profile role within the council, which is appointed for a 4-year term and can be overturned at any point, as we've seen recently. So, you know, just because an appointment may last for 4 years doesn't mean that you can't change that in term.
Adesua.
Thank you, Chair. Could I just raise one point, which is obviously these are champions. They're not cabinet members, they're champions. At each full council meeting, the council doesn't ask cabinet members to produce a report setting out all the things that they've done in relation to their particular functions over the last year for comment, etc. And I just wondered, in light of there being a distinction within this report between the role of the cabinet member and the champion, I just wondered whether that might be slightly disproportionate to what we're asking them to do. They're not making any decisions, they're championing a particular cause. So I just wonder if at the end of the year, what their report might be saying. But not necessarily to full. I just wonder if we're putting more of an onus on what the champion was intended to be, which is just championing, as opposed to more than that, particularly if they're going to be reviewed annually. That's just a thought.
Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. I think that we do have a model in the Audit Committee Chair's annual report to Council. So that is available, and that is someone who, again, doesn't have much by way of power, but does chair the meetings. I think that might be a good model to have.
Councillor Ayres.
I have to say I don't think the cabinet member should be a champion. I think it's meant to be somebody else completely different, somebody who hasn't got necessarily a job in the executive at all, but is a champion for across the board. So that I would suggest that we should forbid a cabinet member who's got it as his job or her job from being a champion in this respect.
Yeah, I was only referencing the cabinet in the cabinet member in the sense, not specifically in relation to the cabinet member, sorry, the champion role, but because they have a discretion over a large number of areas, but the proposal is to require the champion, who doesn't have any decision-making power, to put forward.
It actually refers to the fact that it reads as though unless the champion is a cabinet member, that implies that a cabinet member can be a champion. And I'm suggesting that they shouldn't be, because they've already got the job, haven't they?
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor.
And they want somebody else to assist in that, if you like, rather than being. That's what I think.
Thank you, Councillor Ayres. Councillor Hiller.
Thank you, Chair. I think you make a very good point, Councillor Ayres. I have no desire to be a champion, the wonder horse, or anything else, frankly. And the cabinet roles, as people around the table will understand, many and varied, depending on the portfolio. But what it will do, perhaps, is diminish the propensity of these cabinet advisor roles, which in the last administration we had myriad, as you'll be aware. Every other day we had a different cabinet advisor. I mean, it was just nonsense, frankly, without any any
mine.
Real status, no reporting, no roughing. If I could finish, Councillor Rose.
Certainly.
Thank you. So we've got two currently, and they both are more than happy to do reports on what it is they do. I think the champion hasn't got status. I absolutely agree with Adesua, and I think you make a good point. If we're formalising by asking for reports, then of course it does tend to take a little bit of a different role. And I think they should be enthusiasts about whatever it is they're trying to do, and whatever it is, whatever area of the local authority they're looking to promote, or the city that they're trying to promote. And it is actually, as I think we all agree on this, I don't think there's any real disagreement here, other than potential, you're right, that sort of statement, unless they're a cabinet member. I mean, for a cabinet member to be a champion, as well, I think that's a bit bonkers, frankly. But I agree, I think that ought to be taken out. And you know, we didn't have that, you know, that potential anomaly. But the cabinet member status, champion status, I think is it should be taken seriously, but not necessarily an official appointment in that truest sense of reporting and whatever. That's just my thoughts.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hiller. Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. I think to give the alternate view, if you're asking for someone to take up an appointment, what we don't want is showboating by someone who takes on an appointment and doesn't do any work, and there's no way of measuring their performance. If we are going to measure the performance, we need to have something to show that that performance has been measured. Otherwise, we're allowing showboating to take place, and I don't think that's the right thing for council.
Thank you, Councillor Coles. I'd just like to add, I do remember Councillor Brian Tyler, as the disability champion, regularly communicating to members of the council about various activities that he was involved with as an enthusiast, and that came across quite well. So I do agree with the majority of views of the members here. Right, we're going to go to Councillor Sanford as the last point, if that's okay, and then just agree a wording on this alternative recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a slight concern about the wording in the protocol 6.2, and it says that the member champion will report into their cabinet member. I think one of the reasons I'm quite keen that these guys should be appointed by four councillors, I think they should have a general role in promoting the cause and not necessarily be accountable to the cabinet member. So if you're a cycling champion, your job is to promote cycling or active travel within the council, not specifically to promote the policies of the council. I think this is quite difference.
So, good point, Councillor Sanford, but I would like to state that reporting back to the relevant cabinet member is also a necessity, because we are measuring progress of that role under which responsibility that cabinet member holds. So, I mean, it's either or, really, and to promote the activities that this role holder would have, I think, is necessary both to councillors and to the cabinet member. Shall we now move to the wording of the alternative recommendation? Mardia, do you have anything formally in terms of wording that we've noted down? Yes, Adesua.
Thank you, Chair. I'm conscious that this protocol came in its entirety to the July meeting and it was approved. And obviously today there are some changes to it. And I do wonder whether there is some merit in me going away to incorporate those changes so that you have final sign-off before it goes to full council. Because bear in mind, if there hadn't been a request for the cycle champion, this report would have gone to full council and been approved by now. So I do think there's probably some merit in me incorporating that and maybe bringing an updated draft and track changes for you for the next meeting so that we're all clear as to what's been agreed.
Councillor A.
So can I suggest that we agree to an active travel champion subject to the wider protocol coming back to this committee for final sign-off before going to full council.
Any comments in relation to
that?
Big
concern. This is, you know, I initially asked for this to go on the agenda. I think it was in October 2021. And so was it 22? I've even forgotten. But so I'm just, you know, couldn't we actually go to full council and get these people appointed and then subsequently bring the protocol back to the committee for approval?
I think my only concern, we'd be asking for the approval of the protocol and the principle of the members, but clearly, as of July, we had an approved protocol, or what appeared to be approved protocol, but there have been quite a few changes. So I think if we're going to end up, what I'm wary of is that we're all, you as members are all clear on exactly what goes forward, because clearly from the different comments that have been made here, the July approved protocol is not quite approved. And it's quite possible that by the time it comes back again, but I'm just conscious that it would be helpful. There is a meeting, I believe, in March, isn't there? Is there a meeting in March?
There is a council meeting, full council. There is.
Okay, could I suggest that maybe in between now and the next meeting, what if I circulate a version, an updated version of the protocol via email to you all, so that we can get views, that with the intention of taking a report to March. But I am keen for you all to have sight of the updated version, which incorporates your comments, so that you're all on the same position. Otherwise, I suspect 2026 will be on version 10 of the protocol.
I agree with that.
Sorry, could you go through the chair, please, Councillor Sanford? That's okay.
Sure,
thank
okay,
you.
Right, thank you. Okay. So I thought the wasn't the intention that these appointments should be made at the actual AGM. So that would be in May. So I think what you're proposing sounds a sensible way forward, because we've got several months in which we can look at drafts. The only problem will be is if there's significant disagreement on the drafts. That would be the only issue.
So I think that we're in agreement, members are, unless there are any other major reservations, that Adesua will go away and redraft the recommendation. And circulate them.
I think we're okay with the recommendation. I think it's the protocol that needs to be looked at again to incorporate some of the comments. I will make the changes in track changes so you can see what's being changed and circulate that by email.
Thank you, Adesua. We'll therefore take advice from you. Do we still have to vote on this recommendation that has been put forward here?
Sorry, just bear with me one moment. I'll just go back to the...
Is the recommendation on page 33 that we consider whether to recommend to full council the adoption of a cycle champion and determine the scope of the role?
So what you'll need, because that recommendation is specifically in relation to the cycle champion, mm-hmm. you'll need to have a proposal to put forward the recommendation to full council the adoption of a travel champion. That will need to be seconded and vote on that recommendation. And then you should recommend that changes are made to the protocol and circulated to members. So have an additional recommendation. I think that's the way to do
okay.
it.
So are members in agreement to the wording of an alternative recommendation, which would read, consider whether to recommend to full council the adoption of a travel champion and yeah. determine the scope of that role? So are we all in agreement?
So the recommendation for that would be to agree to recommend to full council the adoption of a travel champion. That'll be the first point. Active travel champion. Sorry. This is why we need an updated draft protocol. So that'll be the first. That'll be the first recommendation. The second one will be to instruct the monitoring officer to amend the protocol and circulate comments for agreement in advance of the next full council meeting.
Thank you, Adesua. Do you have that in writing, Mardia? Councillor Cole, you wanted to make a point.
Just one small procedural point. It does say determine the scope of the role, which I don't think we necessarily have for all the champion roles. Is that part of your programme?
So determining the scope of the role was just really whether to clarify whether it was just going to be purely cycling. I think with the use of the active travel champion, clarify that it's what it covers more than just cycling.
Okay, are we happy? Mardi, would you like to read out the recommendation once for all? I think we can.
Yeah. So we'll need to have one proposer and then a seconder. Then we'll need to vote on the first recommendation. Proposer, seconder, the second recommendation.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Hill has seconded. And then we go to the vote. So the first recommendation, agreed? Okay. Second recommendation. Do we have a proposer and a seconder? Thank you. And go back to. Addison has just read it out.
It's quite clear. It's which full council will it go to then? Is it going to the AGM or to the March?
So it'll go to the AGM, but I would hope that we have an agreed version well in advance of that, so it's ready to go to.
Is that okay, Councillor Sanford? Okay, and can we have a seconder for the second round? Thank you, Councillor Ayres. Thank you. So I think that concludes that item agenda item. Right.
Until it comes back again.
Until it comes back again. You've been waiting since 2022.
We have that clear by tomorrow morning.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to agenda item number 7. Constitution and Ethics Committee start time 2024-25. Please can I ask Adesu and Mardia to introduce the report, please.
Thank you, Chair. This report is for the committee to agree and recommend to Council the start time for all Constitution and Ethics Committee meetings for the municipal year 2024-2025. The draft schedule of meetings will be agreed at annual Council on 20th of May 2024. So this is the only opportunity for the committee to make this decision. Thank you.
Do you have anything to add, Adesua?
Nothing in particular, just to say that it's the Constitution does allow individual committees to recommend times forward for the full councils. This is what this is seeking to do.
And do we have any suggestions? Councillor Hiller.
Normally a fairly emotive subject. What time the committee starts? I mean, given the infrequency of this committee with respect to members and with respect to the importance of the committee, I'm not 100% sure that it's actually that salient from a member's point of view. And I'm talking for everybody, and I can't do that. Of course, I can only talk for myself. But I think it does rather depend on working arrangements. If somebody has holding down a full-time job, then maybe 3 o'clock start, 4 o'clock start is not too clever. But given the infrequency of the committees, I'm sure things can be arranged that if somebody was very keen to have an earlier start than 6 o'clock, then I'm sure that could be accommodated. So I think to a great degree, it's probably pretty flexible. I am the fortunate position of being retired for some years, and so it doesn't really affect me per se, but I think, if people are working, then of course it can be awkward on occasion, but that would only be, in my opinion, if it was every other week. And then, planning committee, I sat on the planning committee for many, many years, and, it was awkward for some members to be there at 1:30 on a Tuesday. Planning committee tour was first thing on a Friday morning, so that could be awkward for people, but everybody seemed to manage to do that. So I think, really, if we've got the emphasis and we've got the attitude, I don't really think it's that critical. So I'm quite happy to leave it as it is, but unless, again, if it comes up with a better suggestion, I'm sort of fairly flexible.
Thank you, Councillor Hiller. Councillor Jamil.
I'd like to leave it to the committees, so whoever is constituted in May. And the reason why I say that is because we seem to change every year, and it would be nice to be able to the people who come on that committee, to be able to choose their time. We can say 6 o'clock now, but leave it open with the committee can decide. I just think, because you're right, people do work, and because we've met at 5 o'clock with Constitution as well, and like I say, for me, when you're self-employed, it's a different ballgame. But when you're working, to try and get from one place to another, so I, I'd like to leave it to the committee to decide at the start of the year, because then when you're appointing people to the committee, then you can say to them, this is the situation, and then those people can then choose whether they want to go on that committee or not. I just think it's more sensible to do it that way.
It's a good point, Councillor Jamil. Councillor Sanford.
Yeah, I think we should leave the time as it is. There's been a tradition in all the many years that I've been on the council that all of our major committees are evenings. And there was an exception with planning committee, but I'm sure Councillor Hiller would recognise that one of the reasons there's an exception with planning committee is it is a committee that does have meetings that go on for an extraordinary length of time, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours, that sort of thing. So I think it's an important principle that our committees meet in the actual evenings. Now, whether that's, we always used to have committees starting at 7 o'clock. In recent years, there's been a number of committees that have met at 6. I think that the only point I'd make in response to Councillor Jamil's points is that although quite often what we talk about is not things that are of massive interest to members of the public, it is conceivable that we could have an issue that members of the public would be interested in. And so it's not just about a time that members of the committee can attend, it's a time that members of the public can attend also.
Thank you, Councillor Sanford. Councillor Coles.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's a matter of putting the cart before the horse for us to vote on a start time for the meeting that's going to be the following year. I've given an alternate proposal that we agree and recommend to Council the start time for the first meeting is at 6 p.m. and that we move the work programme to make sure that this item is the first item they consider in the new committee. And they have the opportunity then to decide the time according to their own needs. And it's probably going to be more productive by doing that. That would be my suggestion.
So we now have an alternative recommendation as well, don't we, again? So the recommendation on page 41 that reads, agree and recommend to Council the start time for all Constitution and Ethic Committee meetings for the municipal year 2024-25 should read. Councillor Coles, did you see that you've brought up that wording? Would you like to draft that recommendation?
Indeed, very happy to do so, yeah. What I would say is item one, to agree and recommend to Council the start time for all Constitution and Ethics Committee meetings should be brought to the first meeting of that committee. So that'd be the second, well, probably the first one is that we agree, we are agreeing, aren't we, I think, if I've read everyone correctly, that the meeting will start at 6 p.m. for that particular first meeting.
Are we all happy?
It's a bit wordy, isn't it? I'm sure you can sort that out, something sensible.
Are we all happy with that suggestion? Yeah. Okay.
Staff, if I had a certain to clarify, does that comply with the Constitution?
I wonder whether it may be an idea to recommend to full council recommend to full council the 6 p.m. specifically for all meetings, and then as a committee separately to agree that the work plan will be updated so that consideration of meeting times is on the first meeting. But so it would be two different recommendations, one to full council and then one for an amendment to the work plan to cover the issue of times. So until the work plan is updated and there's an agreement from CME committee that they want to change the time, it will remain at 6 p.m. So you have a clear, I wonder whether that's the way to do it. So then it gives the new committee scope to then consider it.
I'm just thinking it's actually relevant to all committees, isn't it, that the previous committee decides them when they're going to meet. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. Maybe it should be not just for this committee, but considered for all of them. So that might require a constitutional change. I'm just wondering if that's a sensible proposal.
There are some committees that are possibly not thinking in the same way that the CNE committee is thinking in terms of what might be an acceptable position for the new committee. I think there are some where there's an agreement of the start time, full stop, and then I guess if, without there necessarily being a let's put it on the agenda for the new committee when it's coming in.
Councillor Sanford.
Yeah, I just think what you're proposing is a perfectly valid point of view, but I think you'd require an amendment to the Constitution. It's just worth bearing in mind that for years and years the tradition was that it was annual council that determined what the start time of all the committees would be, and then decided to change to this system, but you're absolutely correct in that there is a major flaw in this system, that we sit round the table here deciding what a group of councillors who are elected at the AGM are going to do. So, yeah, it's... but, you know, you could change the constitution to say that at the beginning of each year, each committee should hold a meeting, or you could even change the constitution to say that each committee should itself determine the timings. But
thank you, Chair. I think overall the whole debate is kind of a little bit pointless in terms of committee meetings change all the time. There's a whole number of meetings where we go, there's a direct clash. Is everyone happy for us to move it to 5:30 instead of 6? Or can we do 4 instead of 6 that day? And it goes to group reps and they agree it. So we've already got that built in, that actually we can vary times. You know, we can have extraordinary meetings that are on a different day of the week. And I know we're just looking at times at the minute, not days of the week or time of the month or month of the year. But, you know, we can already do it all. So I think let's just agree a time. And if those that are sat in these seats next year want to change it, they can, because we already do it.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Ray. I was just going to say that going back to Councillor Andy Cole's point about starting the next meeting at 6 o'clock, that we already do that, don't we? So wouldn't it make sense to just recommend, again, go back to the original recommendation, agree and recommend to Council the start time for all Constitution and Ethics Committee meetings for the municipal year, and then at the very first meeting of Ethics and Constitution and Ethics Committee, we then incorporate that as part of the work plan. So actually, the first recommendation still stands valid after all that discussion and toing and froing. Yes, Councillor Hiller.
And I will be very brief. I mean, this is death by committee, isn't it? And I think this is one of the reasons perhaps we don't want to go to a committee system. We've gone round and round and round, and you know, we come back to where we started. Frankly, I completely agree with you, and I agree with Councillor Ray. You know, it starts at 6. If people want to change the time, then it changes. You know, you do it by email or whatever. Can we move on? Yeah. You know.
So, as Chair, I'm going to, after that discussion, ask that you vote on point number 1, page 41, that we agree and recommend to Council the start time for all Constitution and Ethic Committee meetings for the municipal year 2024 to 2025. Agreed? Good. Thank you. Right. So we have information and other items. Point number 8, which is dispensations. And I'd like to note that there have been no dispensations issued since the last meeting. Adesua to present, it says.
Which is that there have been no dispensations.
Agenda item number 9, Councillor Code of Conduct Report. Please can I ask Adesua to present the report? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Before I start, you'll note there is a slight change to the information that I provided about the councillors, the ongoing investigations into alleged breaches of the Code of Conduct. And the reason why I've made this change is because previously in reports there was a split between councillors who are parish councillors, parish councillors who are city council councillors, and a split in terms of the number of complaints. I have to say I do have a little bit of concern about that, because I think until the investigation has been completed, etc., it should remain confidential. And I think there have been instances where, because we have been able to identify whether it's a city councillor or a parish councillor, it's been easy to identify what has happened, even if the outcome is that nothing, no action is taken. So that's why I have left it as councillors rather than split between parish councillors and city council councillors, because I am concerned that despite the best attempts in telling people that it's confidential and that it shouldn't be discussed, the reality is that in some instances people do discuss it, which is prejudicial really to the person who's being complained about, particularly if it doesn't go anywhere. So that's one of the, I just wanted to highlight that to start with, in terms of one of the changes that I've made. And I don't think it particularly affects
the transparency issue, because everybody is entitled to privacy whilst that's been investigated. So I just wanted to highlight that, because you'll note that there's been a slight change. There have been, in the report you'll see, there have been four new complaints. Since the report has been drafted, there have been there has been an additional complaint which has been received, and this relates to alleged actions by a member towards a member of their own family. And that's a relatively new complaint that's been received. So that's the additional one that's been added onto there since the publication of the report. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions, Councillor Ray?
I'm very happy with the change in the way that it's being presented, but it may be worth adding in there somewhere that it says in relation to councillors, including parish and city, or something like that, because I think a lot of people will read it as a city council document, a city council meeting, and assume they're all city councillors. They may be, they may not, but just put that clarity on the page, I think, for anyone that chooses to read it in their spare time.
That's fine. I can make that change for the next report.
Any other questions at all? Thank you. Therefore, I will go to the recommendations. So it is recommended that the Constitution and Ethics Committee note the report on complaints received being handled by the monitoring officer since the committee's last meeting. Are we all in agreement with the recommendation? Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda item number 10, work programme. Mardia, would you like to introduce the report, please?
Thank you, Chair. This is the committee's draft work programme up until February 2025, and members are invited to make comments and suggestions. Thank you.
Do we have any questions or comments on the work programme? None at all? Councillor Coles.
I could. Do I want to? Talk about the start time move.
Talk about
move. Can I do that?
That'll be added on.
That'll be added on. Thank you. I think that's enough. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I can see no more further points wanting to be raised. So the recommendations are on page 49, that it is recommended that the Constitution and Ethics Committee notes and agrees the work programme with any additional items or suggestions to be included. Thank you very much, Councillor Coles. And with that, we come to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much, members, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening.